Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you out again this morning or afternoon or evening, whenever you're listening to this. Welcome once again for this wonderful episode that I'm so excited to share with you today. As a reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. You know, check out, we've got an event coming up in 2 months. And so I actually don't have that on the website yet. But if you're interested, if you want to actually see me live and learn some of these things live, reach out to me. That Wealth Empowerment Intensive is October 13th and 14th here in Salt Lake City. So you can reach out to me, chris@moneyripples.com, if you're interested in that. Also, quick shout out to our sponsors, American Homeowners Preservation. If you're looking for a great way to get a great return on your money with as little as $100 invested, and you can make a difference in people's lives by helping them stay in their homes or get out from under their homes, you got to check this company out. Check out American Homeowners Preservation. Their website's www.fundingahp.com. Today, I want to talk about a subject that I've actually been wanting to talk about for several months. I've had it on the list here, and I figured like now's the time to do it. Because, you know, you hear all the time this myth of high risk creates high returns. I mean, how many times have we heard that, right? Yeah, take high risk, create high returns. Now, I'll tell you, like, this really became questioned in my mind, especially because I actually really believe this, especially as a financial advisor. I taught this constantly. It's taught throughout all financial professionals that if you want to get high returns, you got to take high risks. And I remember I went to an event. This were some guys that were millionaires and investors. They did an event, and I was at this time. This is 2006, so I was just 28, almost 29 years old. And when they talked to this event, they said, you know, hey, so there are all these myths like it takes money to make money, and you know, and this kind of stuff. And they mentioned high risk creates high returns. And I'm thinking, well, that's not a myth. That's truth. And they said, well, that's a total myth because what's the definition of risk? Now, of course, me, I haven't been, you know, even insurance licensed since 2002. You know, I knew that obviously, you know, risk is chance of loss. And so that's what they said. They're like, risk means chance of loss. So a chance of losing. So they said, if a higher chance of losing, how can a higher chance of losing create a higher chance of winning? And think about that. How can a higher chance of losing create a higher chance of winning? How could a 90% chance of loss create a 90% chance of winning? It doesn't. The math doesn't add up. 90% chance of loss means you have a 10% chance of winning. You know, a 10% chance of loss means you have a 90% chance of winning. See what I mean? It's actually low risk that creates high returns, not the other way around. Now, a gambler mentality would say, oh yeah, take totally high risk. Because in that kind of mindset, that would be a gambler mentality. Because if you were to follow that same premise, high risk creates high returns, well, your highest risk, your highest chance of losing is to go play the lottery. Go play Powerball or something like that where there's millions of people trying to buy tickets, right? There's billions of tickets purchased so that somebody can win, you know, a couple billion dollars or whatever, right? You know, actually not even that much. Usually it's like in the hundreds of millions at the most when people get super excited, right? People are buying up like crazy. Well, if that were the case, you should cash out your entire 401k and every dollar you have, move out of your house, cash all the money there, go live in the tank, go buy the so you can have a chance of winning. Would you do that? No, of course not. You have to ask yourself, why is it taught so prevalently that it's high risk creates high returns? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because it's financial advisors teach it. And where do they get it from? They get it from, and all the other financial experts get it from, financial institutions and banks that train them. Trust me, I know. I was trained as a financial advisor by these institutions. They're telling you to get high risk. Well, why would they want you to take high risk? Well, it's easy. Because banks and financial institutions take the lowest risk possible. I mean, think about it. They don't invest their own money in the stock market. No way. Banks, I dare you, go ask a bank for a loan to go invest in the stock market and see what they say. They'll say it's against the law, because it is. It's gambling. They don't give you money to gamble. You can give you your own money to gamble, but they won't give you their money to gamble with. They'll give you the things that are more certain. You notice they'll give you business loans. They'll give you loans for real estate. They'll give you loans for even a car, which is a depreciating asset, but they will not give you a loan for the stock market. You know, now granted, there's like margin trading accounts you can do through certain brokers. But the difference is, though, is that those guys, those type of brokerage accounts, they monitor what's going on with your account. So if you start losing money, they do what's called a margin call, which basically just means, oh, the note's due, pay us our money back, and then whatever you're left with, hopefully you have something left. They won't ever let – so if they give you – say you have a $10,000 in this trading account. You go trade – you buy a stock or an option on margin. And say you got $10,000 more. You can only get one for one ratio, right? So you get $10,000 more from that quote-unquote bank, right? Well, you do that. If you all of a sudden that stock drops almost half in price, they're going to call you out. They're going to say, oh, nope, we're forcing you to sell your stock so we can get all of our money back, our $10,000 back. And if that thing dropped like 40% from 20 grand down to 12 grand, oh, too bad. Well, I guess you're left with $2,000. Good luck. So you actually lost more. So again, there's high risk there. Notice that banks and other institutions don't take high risks. If banks and institutions do that, why do they just take the simple management fee of your money while you're gambling in the markets? They're letting you take all the risk while they don't. It's perfect marketing. You've been duped. You've been had. You've been run amok, right? It doesn't work that way. It's low risks that create high returns. Going for the certain calculated risks that create a high return. Now, granted, nothing is risk-free, right? Nothing in life is risk-free. But you want to try to do everything possible to create as minimal risk as possible. So let me talk about a few concepts here. And in fact, at the end of this, I'm going to share with you actually questions that I teach my clients, questions to analyze like any investment to know whether it's a good fit or not. In fact, I even give them a nice little spreadsheet and stuff like that to use so they can score it. So here's a few thoughts here. First and foremost, one of the ways to lower risk, besides believing that low risk creates higher returns, is actually insurances and protection. We don't want any one life event to take away all the money that we're building, all that hard work we're putting in. You don't want one event to take that away. So this is why we have things like life insurance, for example. Yes, we need life insurance. Whether you like it or whether you think you're wealthy or not, we need life insurance. And even if you are wealthy, you need it even more because granted, yeah, you might have assets to pay off stuff. The thing is that you've got estate taxes that could be a big issue down the road, especially if they repeal some of the tax laws they keep postponing on us. I mean, if you have estate tax, you can be paying like up to 45% of your money, of your estate, being paid to the government, not to your heirs. And that leads to not just life insurance, but also having a good estate plan, living wills and trusts and things like that. Having a good accountant, CPA, to make sure that you're getting the minimal amount of tax risk possible. Also things like disability insurance. Disability insurance really should be called income insurance or cash flow insurance. That's one of the most, I would say, that most underrepresented or underestimated type of insurances. With disability insurance, as I like to refer to as cash flow insurance or income insurance, it actually protects your income. If you ever become disabled, that kicks in. That helps bridge the gap of your income loss if you can't work the same job you used to. And what I found out? I didn't actually realize this before. I always figured it was more like severe mental or physical disabilities, it also applies to emotional. So if there's like severe anxiety or depression that prevents you from being able to work, it also covers you then. But again, you got to make sure you have the right policies for that too. There's also auto, home, liability insurances, things like that. Boy, I'll tell you, I had somebody who got in a car accident and they had a whole battle about whose fault it was. In the meantime, the hospital bills had to be paid. They only had coverage up to about $50,000. The rest had come out of pocket. By the time they were done with court fees and everything else, it ended up being a split fault. Here in the state of Utah, a split fault means that basically one party's responsible for their stuff, the other party's responsible for their stuff. Nobody covers each other. They're just responsible for their own things. She ended up having to pay out of pocket $315,000 for that, for something that she thought was going to be somebody else's fault. But they couldn't determine the fault, so they just call it split fault. Ta-da, there you go. Again, you don't want any one event taken that way. Obviously health insurance is kind of covered right now, but we never know, right? So again, make sure you have all the coverages in those different areas. I'd also say too, you know, even emotional protection, I mean, and physical protection, like your health, really doing like what we talked about in previous episodes, like the power hour, you know, like we talk about the hour of power and those kind of things, doing that morning ritual, very important. I mean, make sure you're taking care of your physical health, your mental and emotional health. I'll tell you, like for me, working on my emotional health as well as my physical health has been huge, absolutely huge in my business and in my financial prosperity. I can't tell you how much emotional stuff has caused financial detriment in people's lives. Things that doesn't matter what strategies I teach people, if they can't address or deal with their emotional issues or have even some, even in different situations, having emotional intelligence and things like that too, that can help you combat the scarcity and things like that that come up in your life. It doesn't matter. I mean, that money could be gone. Doesn't matter how smart you are. Emotional things can take it away. You know, we've seen that happen with some people do some crazy things. You know, this is why you hear about people that are professional athletes or, you know, musicians, people like MC Hammer, you know, that go bankrupt when they had $20 million. I mean, there's a lot of things that need to be trained and done on emotional side, not just the logical, but there's emotional things that need to be addressed, especially around money and around just life in general. And physical health too. I watched a guy have a $120 million empire collapse and his health collapse with it. And in fact, his health collapsed so badly, he nearly died, and he has yet to ever rebuild that kind of wealth again. I mean, it's a big deal. So you got to be careful. All right. So let me talk about some of these questions here that I address when I look at an opportunity. So this is not just for investments. This is for any kind of opportunity that comes your way. Because in my mind, an investment is anything that requires your time, energy, and or money. And it's not just money. It's time, energy, and or money. And so we want to make sure we protect against that. And I've learned over the years that there's been a lot of pitfalls, a lot of things that either I've justified or overlooked that has cost me hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I want my pain to become your gain. You know, some of these questions actually aren't even just mine. Now, a lot of these come from my own personal experience, but some of these, obviously, like I started to understand more of like why Warren Buffett does what he does and why he teaches what he teaches. You think about Warren Buffett, his philosophy is, he always says, rule number one, don't lose money. Rule number two, obey rule number one, right? It's don't lose money. He's not about taking high risks. This is why he is, depending on the day, the wealthiest or at least the top three wealthiest guy in the world, is for this very reason, is that we don't want to take high risks. Also, if you ever watch the TV show Shark Tank, if you like business, I recommend watching a show like Shark Tank or The Profit. You know, and you can find those things even on like things like Hulu. You know, I don't know if they're really on Netflix, but at least Hulu, you can find those kind of things. But great shows that actually address how to minimize risk and why they ask the questions they do. They might seem like jerks, but they make perfect sense. So let me just give you a few of these questions here. So number one, this is the number one question I ask every single time. And the question I ask is, to what extent am I motivated by passion or mission rather than just money? So to what extent am I motivated by passion or mission rather than just money? Now you notice I say just money. It's not that I don't want money, right? It's not that I don't want to make money from that opportunity or that investment. But the question I'm asking is there something else? Is there something deeper than that? Because if you're just motivated by money, what makes this any different than you getting another job? I mean, if you think about working, you know, working a job is just like, you know, working a job, especially you don't like, is just working for the money, working for the man, you know, working for that paycheck, right? Now, if you go and do an opportunity or you do an investment only to make money, which by the way, 99% of people say they do, you'll find out, just like I did, that you're just working for another paycheck. Sure, maybe you might get more leverage to that paycheck, but it's still a paycheck. Is there something that gives you interest or is there a passion behind it? Do you actually enjoy it? You know, you've heard me say this on several episodes. You know, I've said that when I trained about 200 people how to trade in stocks and options back in the past, right? Back in the mid to late 2000s. You know, when I taught people to do that, I would teach them. I'd say, hey, you know, why are you doing this? Most of them be like, I just want to make money. Some were like, I want to get out of my job. Or others would say, you know what? I just don't want to deal with people. So I'd rather just make money online. Which, by the way, that's the exact opposite reason to make money, because people are the reason there's money exchanged. Whole nother situation, whole nother explanation there. But so anyways, the ones that actually said, you know what, I think it's just fun. I think it'd be cool to learn. Those ones kept getting better even when I wasn't training them. The other ones would plateau. If they didn't have a little interest or passion, they wouldn't get much better. But the ones that did, they kept growing. They kept getting better and better at it. And they would, there's some of them that said, man, you're better than me when I was doing a lot more trading. Now I don't do much trading anymore. I don't care about it because, again, it was fun for a time, but then I didn't really have much of a passion or a reason to do it. I found more passion teaching than I did just trading. You know, I felt disconnected with people when I did that. So I lost the passion a little bit. Number two, how well do you understand the investment, how it provides value to others, and how to make it successful? And explain how you know. You know, do you really understand that investment very well? Do you know, and really, do you understand how it provides value? Because dollars follow value. So do you know how it really creates value? I remember there's an investment out there called, well, quote unquote investment. It was called 12 Daily Pro. This is in 2006 when I was starting to learn this stuff. And I had friends that were doing it. And they said, Chris, we know this violates principle. In fact, it even says in the contract you could lose money at any time. But you know what? It's paying 24% every 12 days. So if you just left your money in there, that means after 36 days, you would double your money based on that rule of 72, right? Because it's compounding. And so I was like, man, that seems tempting. And I remember asking my friend, I said, well, you know, how do they make that kind of money? Because that's incredible. I remember I was just leaving the financial world at that time, the typical traditional financial world, the conventional stuff, right? He's like, I don't know. But he's like, my whole goal is just keep it in there for that 36 days and then pull my money out and then let the rest gamble, which it did because it eventually shut down. Then I was a lady pretty much living in a trailer park out in, I think it was in South Carolina, if I recall. And they ended up freezing her accounts and found out it was just a total Ponzi scheme. But there was so much hype. There was people actually here, even locally in Utah, where I was. I saw the local news even talking about it, where there's people that quit their jobs or cashed out their retirement thinking that this was somehow the thing that was going to save them. Now, first and foremost, it's funny because I live in a state that they call themselves kind of conservative. That is bull when it comes to speculative type investments. There's people gambling like crazy. You know, even though I know some go to Vegas, some don't care about going to Vegas, but man, there's other opportunities that are worse than Vegas out here, you know? That was one of them. So they didn't know how to make it successful. You know, if you understand the investment, how you can make it successful, you can control the returns better. You know, this is why I ask people like, well, what do you understand? What do you know well? And people might say, you know, if they're business owners, they might say, well, business, cool, we'll invest there. If it's real estate, cool, invest there. You know, or where do you have some, you know, interest? Like what's interesting to you? What's kind of fun for you? Invest there. These first two questions, you just do that. This will remove most of the options, especially if you have analysis paralysis, which is a risk in and of itself. If you have analysis paralysis, you're not even sure where to invest. This could be the very thing that helps break that to say, you know, cool. Like for example, like I know there's like ATM deals and stuff out there. You know, I interviewed a guest that you'll hear in a few weeks. He's got that. Now I know some people are like super pumped about that. Now there's others, you know, may not care, and that's fine. You know, for me personally, like an ATM deal, that's cool, but that doesn't make me nearly as happy. Like that AHP deal, like I have a personal involvement, a tie to it, because I was that person that was trapped in a house with equity I couldn't get out from. Nobody would buy it, and I wish I had something like AHP to do it. That's why, for me personally, I actually put some money there. Doesn't mean you should. I'm just saying that that's why I did personally, because I have a personal emotional connection to it. Say, you know what? Yeah, I understand that. I understand how there's value in that. And I know how somebody could have made money had they done it. You know, it's just, I couldn't get out from under my house because it was a super expensive house, you know? So you live and learn. So again, number one, how much passion or mission do you have other than just making money? And hopefully you have all three. You know, you have passion, mission, and you make good money from it. Two, how well do you understand the investment, how it creates value? Three, how much control or influence do you have over the outcome of this investment? This right here stumps everybody with a 401k, IRA, or any kind of mutual fund. Because some people say, well, I have a little bit of control. Yeah, you do. You can pick a fund. But do you pick the stocks they're investing in or the bonds or anything else? Do you have any control over that? Do you have any control over the market in general? No, you do not. You don't have any control or influence over it. Even like sometimes when people say, hey, I'm investing in some real estate stuff, but really they're investing in a note. Okay, do you have any say in the matter? No, I really don't. Okay, well, then is it really legit? You know, can you really do much? Does that really create or lessen your risk? Not really. You know, give you an example. I had a guy that he actually wanted to invest in oil and gas thing. Oil and gas is something he was very interested in. So he passed those first few questions pretty easily. But after that, he's like, he wasn't sure. And so he was looking at it and he said, came back with a score after looking at all these 8 questions I do. And he said, "Hey, Chris, okay, here's the thing. I have a few little questions here. I'm not sure about control. I don't really have control over this." And I said, "Well, did you ask them how you could have more control over it? You know, like, for example, could you be on the board of directors?" "Oh, I didn't ask that." "Well, go back and ask." So he did. Found out the minimum amount he had to invest was only 50 grand. So he's like, "Cool, I have more than that. 50 grand it is." He got on the board of directors. Now, after being on the board, he started to see some inside problems. Said, "You know what? I've got personal gifts and strengths here. I could help control and make this investment better. I've got business experience, but you guys, you don't really, sadly enough." So he said, "Okay, guys, here's the deal. I want you to appoint me a CEO. I want you to make me CEO. I've got great business experience and management experience. I can help the two of your departments communicate." Because the operation guys, the guys who are oil drillers, they weren't communicating well with the guys, the owners. And, you know, the owners were looking at the numbers, the drillers looking at the, you know, the actual drilling and things like that, the engineering aspect, but they couldn't communicate. They weren't speaking the same language. So my client actually stepped in between and became the liaison between them to make sure that everything ran smoothly, that they were organized and they could be profitable. So here's the brilliant thing. Not only did he help ensure his investment by lowering his risk by saying, "Hey, this is what we can do. You know, I'm going to lower the risk by making sure that everything's managed and under control so this thing stays profitable." So he not only ensured his risk, but also by appointing himself CEO, he got himself paid like $1,000 a month to work a few hours a week being a CEO. And so he's making cash flow in two places, returns on his investment and making this little salary. So that's what I mean. Like, that's the key right there, is that you can lessen your risk dramatically. Now, there's other questions that I share on this thing too. I mean, things like, you know, to what extent does it generate predictable cash flow quickly, like within 90 days? Is it predictable cash flow? You know, is there demand for the investment? You know, do you understand the philosophy of those people doing the investing? Do you understand really how they think? Or do they think high risk creates high returns? Things like that. Can you get your money back? And things like that. You know, all those things, those are all part of it. And again, I don't want the show to go on forever. And if you're my client, great. You get to, you know, get this more in depth anyways. But these are all kind of questions that I look at to help lessen my risk. And I'm telling you, it's done wonders for me. I've had clients actually who were about to start a business, and then they said, "Hey, I didn't do it. Save me 30 grand, you know, just by doing that." I'm telling you, like, low risk creates high returns. This has been true for my life as well. You know, even when I've had business opportunities come up, again, I ask myself, "Hey, is this something I want to do regardless of the money? I don't care about making huge commissions. People try to present me with opportunities about making more money. So what? Don't care. How do I have control? Is it something that I'm aligned with, that I'm passionate about, regardless of the money? Would I do it? You know, is it something I know I can make my money back in? You know, that kind of thing. That's where I look at my risk. That's where I look at analyzing for myself what's a good opportunity, what's not." So that right there, my friends, that is how you do it. So everybody make a great and prosperous week. Talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.